the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That is Bradley Trainor.
Hello, Beatros.
Hello. And we will begin today, as we have begun so many days, with our legal correspondent, Bradley Trainor, live on the scene in a courtroom somewhere in California for the Herp trial.
Hi, guys. Bradley Trainor reporting live from outside a courtroom in California. Somewhere.
Virginia. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I meant. Virginia.
You guys, no wonder nobody's come out to talk to me.
That's why he's outside the wrong damn courthouse.
The wrong damn courthouse. Hello? Well, but here's the thing. I've got actual stories and news and things to talk about when it comes to the Herp trial. That's what we call it on the Colleen and Bradley Show. That is, of course, Amber Heard, Johnny Depp. It's Johnny Depp's defamation trial against Amber Heard. I don't have to explain much because, as we'll learn later in the show today, you all know about this story because you've all been paying attention. However, I realize by paying attention, I mean looking at headlines or clips from Entertainment Tonight. It's a real good show. Today, I bring to you a question, and that question is simply this. What's all this business about Johnny Depp not looking at Amber Heard in the eyes at the trial?
What's all this business about Johnny Depp not looking Amber Heard in the eyes at the trial?
Thanks for asking the question, because I know a lot of people have seen headlines like myself, and frankly, I'll just use myself as an example. I kept noticing these headlines that are like, Johnny Depp won't look at Amber Heard. What's that all about? I'm thinking to myself. And so then I went looking, and yesterday we got some developments in that case because it literally was brought forth in the trial. So on cross-examination, but also examination, or like when her own attorney questioned Amber Heard, they got into this topic. But I can tell you before we get into the weeds that the answer to what's all this business about Johnny Depp not looking at Amber Heard during the trial, wherein he's suing her for defamation for $50 million. It's like everything else in this case. It literally is just a matter of he said, she said. They both claim to know why something's happening. And strikingly, not striking, they both have opposite views on the matter. So let's begin at the very beginning.
It's a very good place to start.
Exactly. Johnny Depp's not looking at Amber Heard, right? So this comes up in the trial yesterday from Johnny's own attorney, as she is cross-examining Amber Heard, and she has a simple question for Amber. Hey, Amber, Johnny hasn't shot you a glance during this trial, has he?
Oh, interesting.
And
just putting it right out there in the open.
She's like, I paraphrase, but anyway, Amber Heard goes, yeah, no, I don't think he's looked at me. And his attorney's like, oh, I might know why. You want to know why?
Oh.
You want to know why he vowed to never look at your eyes again?
Yeah, I want to know.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So she then plays an audio recording wherein, and we can't play this because, don't worry, I've got audio, but this audio we're not listening to because there are so many swears. It is audio wherein Amber Heard recorded an interaction between herself and Johnny Depp shortly after the temporary restraining order was taken out against him by Amber. And she wants to, like, hug him and apologize, or, like, it's a weird interaction. I'm not quite sure what her purpose in recording it was, but in that interaction, Johnny Depp says, what are you doing this for? I am never going to look at you again. You're not going to get what you want after you took out that restraining order against me. Essentially, I think his lawyer's bringing this up with Amber because it is an attempt to show, and we'll play this all the way through, that Johnny is, like, living up to his word, right? Mm-hmm. So she plays that audio where they're arguing after she gets the temporary restraining order, and he's like, I'm never going to look at you again. So that's Johnny's side of the story through the attorney.
Wow.
Okay.
And also, wow, his commitment
to his role.
To his role. Yeah. Is phenomenal.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you have followed this trial at all, and if you've seen any footage from this trial, you will always see Johnny Depp when Amber Heard is on the stand looking down. Mm-hmm. And she has, by all accounts, and TMZ points this out, looked at him throughout the trial. And she does it after this particular exchange. Because again, just to catch everyone up, if maybe you haven't been paying close attention, she's on the witness stand this week.
Yeah.
Which means her attorney's asking her questions, and then Johnny's attorney through cross-examination is doing so. So We've got hit, he said. Now let's get the she said, because Amber has her own take on why Johnny's not looking at her.
Oh.
She literally has her own response. And again, art imitates life, life imitates art. This is all just a part of the thing, and it's part of the questions that her attorney brings up. Her attorney's like, okay, we're going to counter what Johnny Depp's attorney just tried to do by saying, like, Johnny Depp is living up to his word, which also this just all seems farcical when you think about it. Like, why doesn't my client look at you?
Well, can I just throw this in the mix? The thing that I find the hardest about all of this is that this is a conversation, again, in a trial about defamation.
Yeah.
Right? So now we're in this extra super space where we're talking about things that are so, it seems to me, and I'm not a lawyer, but kind of ancillary to the
actual thing we're talking about. Lawyer and a reporter.
Thank you. Thank God we've got somebody here who knows what they're talking
You're
about.
You're saying that this seems totally unnecessary.
Well, to me, and yeah. again, I don't know what they're trying to establish in all of this, but they've clearly got some sort of an agenda with it. Anyway, okay, but yeah, but so, she has a whole thing.
So Amber, obviously, through her attorney, is now trying to like score, I almost said political points, but this isn't politics, although all politics is local. Whatever. Anyway, this is an attempt to take the thing that came up and then be like, no, it's not about that. It's about this, you loser. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously, because she doesn't say that. But
she probably wanted to.
She, on redirect, her attorney is now asking her questions again. This is Amber's attorney is asking her questions about why she thinks Johnny doesn't look at her. And I've cut to the chase, essentially. Let's listen to Amber responding in the courtroom as to why she believes Johnny Depp hasn't looked at her once during the trial.
Ms. Vasquez asked you if you knew why Mr. Depp couldn't or wouldn't look you in the eye here or in the UK. You said, yes, you know. Why? Please tell the jury why.
Because he's guilty. He knows he's lying. Otherwise, why can't he look at me? I survived. I survived that man, and I'm here, and I'm able to look at him.
So that's Amber Heard's take on the matter. Johnny's not looking at me because he's a liar.
Because he's a guilty liar.
Yeah. So again, he said, she said. Johnny says, like, I ain't looking at you because after you got that temporary restraining order, because again, he is saying this is all made up. She is a crazy woman hell-bent on destroying his career. Again, Johnny's take, right? Mm-hmm. So if that, you know, ergo, him saying, I'm never going to look at you again, and then following up with it, perhaps is, perchance, giving the impression in open court to the jury that Johnny is a principled man, and he is standing up for himself in this attack by this lady. Meanwhile, she is saying, no, this loser can't look me in the eye because he knows he's guilty. So it really is he said versus she said.
100%. And also, as a spectator of this presentation, I just go back to my previous thesis that I've said on repeat since the beginning of this, which is they both feel really messy to me.
Oh,
because
yeah.
she, you know, her, he presented she was presented with evidence of a conversation that they had where he said, I will never look at you again. And there's actual a recording of that. Now he's playing the long game on that, if you believe that side, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you believe her side, she just, that there's nothing to prove that he is not looking at her because he is guilty.
Yeah, it's a matter of,
she said.
I guess in an ingenious way, this really will sort of lend credibility to whomever you believe, because if you believe Johnny, of course, this is further evidence. Mm-hmm. If you believe her, of course, this is further evidence. I don't know if this is definitive in any way. I will say, you know, in the courtroom, the jury and those watching the courtroom, because again, it's public, so we are getting a lot of the information. However, you got to be careful because you're not an actual juror, and mm-hmm. you might have some bias that wouldn't have gotten you on that journey in the first place. Jury in the first mm-hmm. place.
It's a jury journey.
If you listen to the exchange that she recorded, you got to ask yourself, like, yeah, this proves nobody's point. What all it proves is that you two are a hot mess mm-hmm. because it's literally her, like, she has allegedly, she's just gotten a temporary restraining order against someone, and she's trying to hug him and apologize for things. And again, I don't pretend to understand what's in a person's mind in a complicated relationship mm-hmm. like this that ultimately allegedly involves violence. But listening to that audio is not going to make you feel particularly good about siding with one or the other.
Yeah.
Like, no. Regardless of what you think it proves or disproves, and again, that's ultimately what's most important in this trial, so I imagine the jury is going to be... I just can't wait for the Diane Sawyer sit-down with this panel of jurors, which will never happen, because I don't even think Diane Sawyer would do that at this point. Maybe she would. Diane, could you do this, please?
Yeah, what's she
Because
have to
I want to get inside the mind of this jury. Like, I'm more curious about what they are having to consider
yeah.
and the decisions they made. No harm, no foul. However they rule, I will, you know, hats off to them, because that is not an easy job. I am just utterly fascinated how you're supposed to parse crazy coming from both directions.
Mm-hmm.
And yet within that, there is a legal truth you're supposed to arrive at.
Well, and also, you know, that's the part that we're not privy to with this trial. I mean, we will be privy to everything up until when the jury deliberates. And then it's like behind closed doors, we won't know exactly how they arrived at that decision. And so it is sort of like we're missing the last chapter of a story that we've read the whole thing of, and then we're going to miss a full chapter and read the last page. And I want to know what's in that last chapter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, ultimately, we're going to know. So there's that. I mean, unless the jury's like, you know what? We're not doing this.
Yeah, somebody will say something sometime.
But I feel like we're going to get it eventually.
When we return on the Colleen and Bradley Show, I'll tell you what we're going to get coming up. Holly Roberts is going to bring us all the dirt straight from Hollywood. It's a Dirt Alert on My Talk 107.1.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert, Dirt Alert.
Holly Roberts is here with all the dirt straight from Hollywood. It's a Dirt Alert. What's happening, Halls?
Hi. Let's actually start today's Dirt Alert in France. Again, yes, the Cannes Film Festival is currently underway in France.
Woo-wee.
And Tom Cruise is making the scene. You know, he's going to be debuting Top Gun Maverick at the Cannes Film Festival, and he's being honored for just being Tom Cruise.
Of course.
Because he's
How soon we forget.
Yes, because he is very special. Look, Tom Cruise, I think he thinks that he is singularly on a mission to save movies. Because he's talking about the fact that Top Gun Maverick would not be debuting on streaming services on the same day that it's been released in theaters. You know, hey, guess what? We're still in a pandemic, and sometimes you got to rearrange the kitchen. But Tom Cruise laughed at any kind of pressure that Top Gun Maverick would be pressured to be released on a streaming service. He said, he didn't do his count impression. He said that was not going to happen ever. This was never
and
going to happen.
He's Tom Cruise, so I'm sure he's absolutely capable of wielding said power.
Exactly.
Would it be like to have that kind of self, like that sort of inflated sense of self?
Well, he thinks he is safe. Remember?
He truly does.
I mean, let's go back a couple of years. Tom Cruise going to a screening of Tenet.
At the height of the pandemic.
At the height of the pandemic, Tom Cruise was like, I'm going to put on a
mask.
Let's go! Go in my motorcycle. I'm going to give high fives to everybody in the screening room.
But he just thinks he was sent to save the world.
And yet, behind the scenes, he was, you know, berating and verbally abusing people who he perceived to not be following the appropriate COVID protocol. So it just tells you that there is a Tom Cruise for... you know, prime time, and then there's a Tom Cruise as he is, as a human being. And by all accounts, the human being portion of the Tom Cruise experience is not one you want to spend much time around.
Mm-mm.
But power, influence, and proximity to those things often allows people to behave in ways they wouldn't otherwise.
What do you know?
Mm-hmm.
What do you know? Hey, Taylor Swift is receiving an honorary doctorate today at New York University, showing off her cap and gown on her TikTok and Instagram accounts. She's very excited about this.
She should be.
And congratulations to her. You can see her walking out at Yankee Stadium where the commencement is happening, and she's got her cap and gown, and you can now call her Dr. Swift.
I love it.
Corngrats.
I'm a big fan of Dr. Swift. I like her entire body of work.
Yeah. Very learned.
Yes.
Harry Styles is complimenting his girlfriend Olivia Wilde in a rare public remark.
Oh,
what did he say?
A rare public remark.
So says Page Six. So he was talking on the Howard Stern show, and he said of Olivia, "I had a wonderful experience being directed by Olivia." Now, Harry Styles is starring in her new movie, Don't Worry, Darling. He said, "Acting is kind of very uncomfortable at times, and I think you have to trust a lot. It requires a lot of trust if you want to kind of give it everything. And I think being able to trust your director is a gift." So that was very helpful.
You know what's so funny is I noticed that Howard Stern was trending on Twitter, and I was clicking around. And all the, what are the Harry Styles fans called? Harry's?
Stylistics?
Styly people? Anyway, they were like, all of them. Not all of them, but they were very vocal on Twitter about the fact that he was being interviewed by Howard Stern, and they were livid with Howard Stern because I think if
he asked
you
asked him actual questions.
Yes, exactly. I think if you are actually a person who is a fan of somebody, you buy whatever they're putting out there, right? But Howard Stern, he doesn't just buy what's out there, he asks hard questions and direct questions. And he doesn't drop something when he gets the PR answer from somebody, right? So from what I could tell, and I haven't gotten the chance because this was just shortly before the show, so I haven't gotten the chance to go back and listen to the interview, but he was pressing him on questions about things that have had, that he sort of spit out some PR answers about in the past. So I'm curious to hear a little bit more of that, but I will tell you the stylies weren't having it.
I just think fans are usually, I don't know, I don't, I'm not a huge fan of fans.
Fans are the worst.
Fandom can be problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like people, I'm not going there, it sounds judgmental. Okay, so, but what I wanted to say about Harry Styles was simply that I think Harry Styles doesn't go on and talk to Howard Stern unless he's totally comfortable with who Howard Stern is.
Right.
As any celebrity who goes on Howard Stern, you don't go on Howard Stern and go, "You really shouldn't ask me that, Howard," or "I'm going to get frustrated that you asked me a tough question."
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure he held his own, and I'm sure he was quite capable of answering Howard's questions without people needing to get their undies in a bunch.
Yeah, it's like going to one of those timeshare presentations when you have no intention of actually buying the timeshare, but you wanted the free lunch. You know, you just have to know how navigate that. I've never done it. I
need lunch that bad. I would eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
The original cast of The View has reunited.
What?
And they've taped a special for the 25th anniversary of the ABC Daytime Talk
Show. With Barbara and all?
No, Barbara's not involved.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you lied to us.
Yeah. But Debbie Matenopoulos.
Yes, Debbie Matenopoulos.
Lisa Ling?
No, original.
So Star Jones, Debbie Matenopoulos, Meredith Vieira, and Joy Behar.
That's right. Congratulations. You know your feeling.
That was my sweet spot. And then they did Debbie Matenopoulos dirty. She wasn't the brightest bulb on the
branch.
They've
done a lot of people dirty
on
that
show. She was the first one that got done dirty.
Yeah, so this taping happened on Monday. It's for an ABC reunion special that's in the works. Now, an insider confirming to Page Six that they're reunited, but we don't know what the heck is going to be going on during this anniversary special.
Also, who asked for this? I mean, I just, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't have an answer.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no.
It's a great story. I'm just wondering, like, what are we expecting is going to happen? Like, we're all going to go, oh, but then I feel like we're going to have that feeling like, well, where's Barbara? Oh, you know what I mean?
Right.
Well, somebody's going to have to answer those questions.
Yeah.
Mm. Right.
Because we haven't heard anything out of Barbara or her people.
Yeah. For a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So no word yet on what this reunion is actually going to look like or when it's going to air. But rest assured, it's going to be happening sometime on ABC in the near future.
Can't wait.
Okay.
Holly, thank you for that dirt alert.
Yeah.
When we return, Holly has done her duty combing through the blind items so that we can solve some pop culture mysteries. And we're going to do that in a little segment we call Blind by the Item after this on My Talk 107.1. We've got some pop culture mysteries to solve here on the Colleen and Bradley Show. My Talk 107.1. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer.
Well, hello.
And Holly Roberts brings us these pop culture mysteries in the form of blind items. She tells them to us. We try to solve them in a little segment we call Blinded by the Item.
Blinded by the Item.
Oh, Colleen and Bradley, I think that you guys are just going to knock this one out of the park.
Okay. Well, we have been studying for years.
Try this celebrity gossip mystery on for size. The illiterate reality star doesn't care what the permanent A-list dress designer has to say about what she did and his criticisms. She would say he doesn't understand the world of clicks and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen his dresses? He knows.
Ooh.
Kim Kardashian and Bob to the Mackey.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Nice try, honey.
Uh-huh. Kim Kardashian doesn't really care what Bob Mackie has to say about her wearing Marilyn Monroe's dress to the Met Gala. Now, he's saying that Kim Kardashian would tell Bob Mackie that he doesn't understand the world of clicks and marketing. Anti-lawyer is saying Bob Mackie invented marketing with his outfits.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, some of the most iconic pop culture and just cultural moments in American life over the last 50 years come courtesy of one Bob Mackie.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like,
I nice mean, try.
Cher, for example.
Whoa.
All of Cher.
Elton John.
Yes.
Et cetera.
Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yep.
Blinded by the Idol.
Take a seat, Kim Kardashian.
Uh-huh. Now,
it's just another case of one, like, here's a person who thinks they invented it all, and it's like, hi, honey. Did this 50 years ago. What's new?
I mean, she's like Gwyneth Paltrow and yoga.
The older I get, the more I see young people discovering things that many of us discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have respect for the people older than me who looked at me and said, oh, honey,
mm-hmm.
oh, honey, you weren't the first.
We all get there.
Well, let's go to this celebrity gossip mystery next. It was either be canceled or head to streaming. So the pro dancers are just fine going to streaming. Anti-lawyer doesn't know why people, former hosts included, are making them look like victims. They don't even have to take a pay cut.
Dancing D-dubs. With the stars.
Yeah. So don't shed a tear.
They're
for the,
fine.
For the pro dancers at Dancing with the Stars.
They got a job and it pays money.
They're fine.
Exactly. Because it was either be canceled or head to streaming. So Dancing with the Stars going to Disney Plus this fall.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they're fine. They didn't even have to take a pay cut.
You know, and who knows, maybe the writing's on the wall, but like, that's show business, kids. And to your point, or the blind items point, like, it's going to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So at least it didn't happen today. So you get a whole new season.
There you go.
Of paychecks to collect.
Yeah. And kicking. And stretching.
Yeah.
And kicking.
And theme nights.
How exciting.
And based on reality shows that we thought were dead 100 years ago, you're fine.
And I mean, in closing, you're fine.
I don't underestimate network television's ability to string something out as long as humanly possible beyond any reasonable critical limits. Grey's Anatomy.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear anything. So can we go on, Holly?
Sure.
Grey's Anatomy! Sorry.
Wait, is something... Did Bradley leave the show? Where is he?
I don't know. Are we having technical
issues?
I can't hear him.
Oh, my microphone. It's cracking up.
Well, it sounds like it's just you and me, Holly.
Let's solve this celebrity gossip mystery, Colleen and Bradley. Can hear you, Bradley, right? Loud and clear. This married A-minus list actor has always been very religious, but not in the LDS faith, so it's interesting that he's taken on a sister wife.
Oh. Oh.
A religious person, but not Mormonism.
Yeah.
Although mainstream Mormonism doesn't do polygamy, so nice try.
What? Tell us his status again.
A-minus list.
Okay.
But so, somebody's got a sister wife going on, and they're not on the reality show.
Okay.
Oh. You mean not on the sister wife reality show?
Yeah,
this
exactly,
person
yeah.
is not on a reality show.
That is got correct, it. Yeah.
So. You're being euphemistic.
Correct.
Metaphoric.
Yes.
Figurative.
Indeed.
Okay, can you push us in the direction of this actor? Because is it... Oh.
What?
Chris Pratt?
Unfortunately, he's higher on the list than A-.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is it somebody who we know to be...
Religiously?
Religiously?
Yes, this person has starred in several Or at least one.
No.
One of the biggest movies of all time, actually.
Kirk Cameron, but he's not A-minus list. Biggest movies of all time?
Well, it was pretty big when it came out in theaters.
Leonardo DiCaprio? No.
But he's not even married to one person.
That's right. Now, this movie came out in the mid-2000s and was a big darn deal when it came out. And this person has also gone on to star in a CBS procedural. I'm just letting you know that NT Lawyer didn't update the blind items today, so, you know.
Hey, that's fine.
No.
Is this guy an Avatar?
This guy's not an Avatar.
So it's not that it's not Jeremy Renner. Who's the Avatar guy?
He's not Sam Worthington.
Sam Worthington. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call him a minus list.
He went on to star in a procedural.
Yeah. Well, this movie, let's focus on the movie.
Okay.
Okay. The movie, very big.
I mean, literally, she said one of the biggest movies of all time, Colleen. Right. I feel like this is so obvious. I know.
It's of a religious nature.
Oh, Left Behind.
Mel Gibson?
But getting closer.
Yeah, so who was it? Oh my gosh.
Hugh Jackman.
Was it in the Passion? That's the
of
movie.
The Christ?
Yeah, who is that?
Jim Caviezel.
That's right.
Oh god, honey, we weren't ever gonna get that.
That's why I told you the blind items haven't been updated.
Jim Caviezel?
Yeah, well that's what NT Lawyer is saying.
So he's got
himself a sister wife.
Yeah.
Okay, good for him.
Maybe that. Yeah.
I mean, hey, different strokes for different folks.
Wow. So that sounds like what's going on there.
I think one is more than enough.
Blinded by the item.
Oh, more celebrity gossip mysteries. Now, this could be anyone, and there's not...
Oh, great. So, all answers are correct.
That's great. Just ding away.
There's not a definitive answer to this blind item. However, I bring this to the table, Colleen and Bradley, because we could have fun speculating.
Perfect. Okay, good.
We can speculate.
Yeah. So, several years ago, NT Lawyer met a guy who was the product of a 30-minute fling between a former game show host and the offspring's mom in the trailer of the game show host.
Oh.
Since then, he has found another half dozen kids just like him. All the offspring of the game show host's trailer activities with contestants.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I love this. So it's not going to be like a Bob Barker, because this would have to be somebody who interfaced with celebrities on their game show, I would imagine. Right? So Dick Clark.
Wait, so explain to me, these were all celebrity offspring?
They're not, they're all offspring of the game show host because he was having relations.
No, I got that, but the way Colleen described it was that the people he was doing it with were celebrities.
No, they were contestants.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. For some reason, I thought that they were like celebrity contestants.
My brain goes to the person who couldn't keep his hands off his guests.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, is Family Feud OG.
Ah, Richard Dawson. Yeah,
because he was the kisser.
That's what most people are saying, is that it was former Family Feud host Richard
Dawson.
Looks
like he was having his own family during the feud.
Ugh. Yeah.
Listen, that's a documentary. I want to watch that documentary.
In early 80s, I would not put nothing past nobody. Who else? Were there any other guesses? Because you said everybody.
Well, you know, I mean, you could just go down the list of game show hosts that perhaps got a little flirtatious with their contestants. I feel like they all did a little wink and a nod back in the day.
I feel like that was part of the thing.
Little wink, Martindale and a nod.
Yeah.
Definitely not wink Martindale.
No. Wink Martindale seems, I mean.
I just feel like he's, you know, I'm not feeling that one.
Uh-huh. Well, and apparently, now I'm looking through the comments section and I'm looking to verify this, is that Richard Dawson actually got married to a contestant.
Okay, so that feels very real.
Yeah.
Unless it's Pat Sajak. Or Chuck Woolery. Mm. I could see that. I'm just making stuff up at this point.
Yeah, here's the story about Richard Dawson and why I think that, Bradley, you were absolutely correct in guessing this and this blind item, is that his second wife was named Gretchen Johnson. She was a contestant on Family Feud in 1981.
Hmm.
They got married 10 years later, had a daughter together.
Weird that they...
That's really interesting.
So they met and were in a relationship for 10 years, or they just like came back together at some point?
I don't know.
Don't know
the relationship history.
Yeah, I will say, if you go back, that is a show, and thanks to things like the Game Show Network or whatever it is, what do we have here locally? It's one of the HD TV streams.
That's Buzzer?
Buzzer.
Without an E. It's just B-U-Z-Z-R.
Buzzer. And if you watch those old episodes, you're like, ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. They don't age well.
No. Nope. Oh, darn it. We don't have time for another one. I was hoping you'd throw another one at us, but we'll have to wait till tomorrow. But when we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, remember that song, Jenny? You know the phone number.
Jenny, Jenny.
867-5309.
309?
309.
I think it's 309.
309. Well, I have learned some things about that number that I didn't know before, and I would like to share these factoids with you when we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show on My Talk 1071. Thank you, Holly. This is the Colleen and Bradley show on My Talk 1071. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
That's Holly Roberts. And you all remember Jenny, right? She has a very famous phone number.
867-5309.
Yes. Okay, so that's the song by Tommy Two Tone, which incidentally is a band. I thought it was just a person. I didn't realize that. Did you know that? That's my first fun fact for you.
I didn't even know who sang that song, but I know that song, obviously, because it's just like burned into my head.
Right?
So that, as kids, we used to prank call that number.
Well, Bradley, thank you for bringing that up. Because I came across... So over time, that very famous phone number, 867-5309, has belonged to many, many, many people in different ways. And there used to be sort of a running kind of list of that number in every area code, right? Because it's possible to have that number in all the different area codes. And that list sort of has fallen away. But there is a person who runs a weird website called telephoneworld.org.
Sounds fun, actually.
I mean, truly, Bradley, I bet you'd actually love it because there's all kinds of telephony news on it.
Yeah.
But this guy was like, listen, we've actually, like, these lists have kind of fallen away after a long period of time, but I'm going to do my due diligence and I'm going to research that number, 867-5309, in every area code to see kind of what it is in each area code. So I hadn't given it a whole lot of thought. I assumed that that wasn't, that they didn't give that number out anymore. I just thought, you know, once that song became famous, I bet people with the number had enormous headaches and they got rid of it. And then the masters of the telephones said, we will never give that number again.
Yeah,
sure. I made that assumption. That's where I filled in the blanks.
What's the reality?
Turns out not true.
Oh.
So in some area codes, they don't even assign anything in the 5,000 region. So any number with the last four numbers starting with five, done. There is none.
None
of that
makes sense, right? Because remember in movies and TV, it used to always be like 555.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So in some area codes, it's just not assigned.
It wouldn't even be there anyway, is what you're saying.
Right. But in some area codes, and this is what I found really fascinating, I was looking through the list, and he truly goes through every single area code. And there are some where businesses have parked that number. And one of the businesses that historically had parked that number was Benjamin Franklin, the
cleaners,
the plumbing.
Oh, plumbing.
And they changed it to Benny, I got your number.
Oh, that's hilarious.
In any area code you were in, if you called 867-5309, you would get Benjamin Franklin.
That's funny.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But since that sort of has fallen away, there are other businesses who have parked in their own area code 867-5309 as their business phone number, which I think is Brilliant.
Yeah, no, it's genius.
However, apparently they get a lot of calls that are not related to their services. Yeah. So you have to be ready to kind of take that on. What were you were going to say something?
No, I was just going to say the thing that I actually am amazed by is that this number still has a life of its own.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm like, who under the age of 40 even remembers that number? Right? But obviously it, you know, sort of permeated the pop culture in such a way that younger generations, it's not that young people don't know things. It's just like, of all of the detritus from our youth, how did that thing get stuck in a way that people are still recollecting this one piece of one lyric of one hit wonder?
Isn't that wild? I mean, and it truly was a one hit wonder. I don't know that Tommy Two Tone went on.
Evidenced by the fact that I didn't even know what a Tommy Two Tone was.
Exactly. Well, here, let's do this because I think it's kind of fun to see what other ways this number has lived on. Holly, I'm going to have you call that first one. Because people have gotten kind of creative with this phone number. So we're going to call live on air one of these numbers in a different area code. Do not try this at home.
Okay.
You can. I don't care, actually. But you can avail yourself of this list and see what each area code is doing with it. But this one particular area code, and hold on, I'm going to find out where this is. What area code, what area of the country this is. But here we go.
I like that Holly's looking at the number.
I wanted her to look at least at the beginning of I was nervous.
Hi, this is Jenny's dad. Because of the pestilence, she's not here, but she doesn't work for the Labor Department. So thank you for calling 518-867-5309, but Jenny's not here. We're not the Labor Department. That was a prank somebody did. And thank you for calling. If you leave a clever message, we'll listen to it. Bye-bye.
And then the voicemail box is totally full.
Yeah, clearly.
But isn't that cute? So that's actually the area code for Albany. So you can tell he's got a cute little New York accent. But that's one thing that if you call it, you're going to get a message.
So if you call the Albany Jenny number, you're getting Jenny's dad.
Yeah, exactly. Then there's another one. We don't have to call this one. There's probably not enough time. But like you can actually call it and the message will say press 2 if you want to listen to Jenny's messages. So it's like a voicemail and then you press 2 and it's all the kinds of pesky phone calls you get from mortgage companies and that kind of, it's hilarious.
Your warranty is expired.
Exactly. So the number does live on.
So if you want to go to the 8 layers of hell.
Yeah. Do you want to know what it is in Minnesota?
Well, of course.
Okay, so in Minnesota if you call the Minneapolis area code
612.
Yep, 867-5309. It is Paul Bunyan Plumbing.
Oh,
so I'm telling you, it's unbelievable how people have used this number, but many places do not assign it any longer.
Well, the jingle just helps, like memory wise. So right? I could see why a business would want to use that because if it is sort of, I mean, I'm still like spitting out jingles from when I was, you know, a toddler.
Right.
So you can understand why there's some staying power, I guess.
Exactly. Also, by the way, there is, contrary to any rumors you've ever heard, there was not a real Jenny. It was a complete and total fabrication, how they came up with the number and the name and everything. Huh. So
763, number unassigned.
There you go.
For See? That area code.
When we return on the Colleen and Bradley Show, what TV show from your youth would you like to see get the movie treatment? And if you want to cast it too, go right ahead. 651-641-1071. We'll take your calls after this on My Talk 107.1.